192, just across the page. I know whom I have believed, number 192.
And I'm persuaded.
And our last hymn, I was told, is a new one. It's definitely a new one for me. Number 333. I think this was the hymn of the month, you said?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. So we're going to try this one. I think you guys are a little bit familiar with it. So once again, sing loud so you can drown me out if you know. All right, number 333.
I know we're in Iowa. I understand that. So anyway, just so you know, we've been in Nebraska and Iowa, and we drove 5 feet into Kansas. That's as far as I wanted to go. But anyway, we were way down in the south part, and we just said, the pastor said, we're like 10 miles from Kansas. Oh, we got to see it. You know, so we drove down there, saw the sign, little sign, you know, Nebraska's got the big sign, still the good life. But anyway, so we were in Kansas. But this is the second time. And here's why it is. I'm a Midwesterner, you know that? I grew up in Minnesota, little town in southern Minnesota, and I love the Midwest. In fact, when I was pastoring in Nebraska, I would sometimes laugh at people that moved south. I would sometimes, I know you find this hard to believe, make fun of those people. But anyway, the Lord knows best, doesn't he? The Lord always knows best. So I pastored. I grew up in Minnesota. My wife grew up in Michigan. I don't consider that the Midwest, but a minor point. But anyway, we met at Bible College in Wisconsin, and I pastored 7 years in Wisconsin, 3 years in Michigan, longest 3 years of my life. But I survived. I'm still standing. But anyway, and then I came to Fremont, Nebraska. We were there 26 years. So I pastored 36 years, and then God called us to Ambassador Baptist College. Let me just tell you something. After you pastored a church 26 years, it's hard to leave. And we miss that place every day, but we know we're in God's will. So while I'm in North Carolina, and if you folks have ever been in North Carolina, and Brother John here grew up in North Carolina, it is the Bible Belt, or you can call it the Church Belt, or you can call it whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of Baptist churches. I like to read the paper every day, and sometimes the paper, the Shelby Star, which is a town of about 25,000, sometimes, on some days, there'll be 10, 11, 12 obituaries, and every single one of those funerals is in a Baptist church. That's not the way it is in the Midwest. So I got this idea for this Nebraska mission trip. And I was in a class teaching the preacher boys, and I said, here's some towns in Nebraska that need a church. And a kid raised his hand, Gino from last year. The guy never stops talking. Gino raises his hand. He's from Jersey, so I don't know. They just were born talking, I guess. And he says, you know what we need to do, Dr. Luke? And I said, what's that? He says, we need to have a mission trip. And I said, you know what I got in the front of my Bible? I had it all written out. I got the whole mission trip written out. I just didn't have enough guts to step out. And so I said to Gino after class, just he and I said, if you'll go, I said, I'll step out by faith. And he said, I'm going. Then he wavered like 16 times, but he came anyway. And last year we had four. And this year we have these two fine young men, not young men, one young man, one ancient guy. But anyway, he's a fine guy, outstanding soul winner. And I like doing this. So we have our, this is the ninth church we've been in. We came a week ago. Last Sunday we were in Cornerstone Baptist in Oahu. That church is 16 years old. God gave them a building, an old building in Oahu. I don't know if you've ever been to Oahu, Nebraska. Oahu means burning bush. I find that fascinating. But anyway, and a congregational church called them up and said, if you'll preach the Bible and not mess with the stained glass windows, we'll give you the church. Give it to you. And he gave them a building. Isn't that amazing? Now, you understand the building was built in 1904. It needs a little bit of work, but not bad. They're going. Sunday afternoon, we were at Logan Valley Baptist Church in Lyons. That's a church started out of church, Liberty Baptist in Fremont. It was their 13th anniversary. We were there. Then Monday, we were helping up at Faith Baptist Church in Wayne, Nebraska. That church was started about in the 60s or 70s by a church planter up in that northeast Nebraska area. That's a tough area. And that church struggled, but still standing. I praise the Lord for that. Tuesday, we went over to Grace Baptist in Red Oak, Iowa, our first adventure into Iowa. Then Wednesday night, we were all the way down in Beatrice, Bible Baptist Church of Beatrice. That church was started in the 70s too. They just got a brand new young pastor in there. And then Thursday, we took a journey across the great state of Nebraska. That's a long state, my friends. Long and boring, but I like it. I seriously do. I think it's pretty. I think there's a beauty to it. We were in a little church 10 miles from the Kansas line, Freedom Baptist Church in Stamford, Nebraska. It's been going 8 years. Stamford is a town of 202. And if you drive down there, you don't know that anybody lives down there. You can't see a house. You can see cattle, you just can't see people, you know. When we were driving down there, we turned south off the interstate, and the temperature just started rising. I'm not making this up. You're going to think I'm making it up. They got the pictures on their phones. It got to 110 degrees. And I said, if this car breaks down, we're all going to die. I mean, there's just, John and I don't even have a chance. You know what I mean? Stephen, maybe, he could survive. But anyway, it didn't stop, so we praised the Lord. We didn't have a service, but we met the pastor, saw the building, we went out to eat. I mean, they're just doing great down there. I praise the Lord for that. You know, and even though it looks like nobody's there, people do live there. And they are like the only gospel preaching church in like a half our radius. You know, then Thursday we went up to this little church that was started in 1972, Hope Baptist Church in Sutherland, Nebraska. That church was started, every church has a story, you know that? That church was started out of a tent meeting back in the early 70s. And that church is still standing. They built a new building about 15 years ago. So we praise the Lord for that. And this morning we're here. And then Sunday night, tonight, we'll again be over at Columbus Baptist Church, Columbus, Nebraska. That will complete 10 churches. And we've gone, had services in six of them, and we've gone soul winning for six of them. We've driven over 2,000 miles. Nebraska's a big state. I mean, nothing is next door, especially if you're talking about Baptist churches. But we count it a privilege to be out there, and my whole goal is to just show these guys another part of the mission field. I understand everywhere is a mission field today. The foreign countries of this world, the large cities. We have 8 graduates from Ambassador Baptist College that are in New York City. Obviously, that place is a mission field. It's huge. I understand that you could have a church every mile and not even come close to reaching it. But I totally understand that. But at the same time, the Midwest is a mission field, and it's a mission field I care about. I like. I'm concerned about. So we're coming back again next year, and we're going to keep coming as many times as the Lord gives me the breath. So we're going to give these two guys, some people have come in, you two guys stand up, come over here. They're going to introduce themselves, tell us just a little bit about themselves. Once again, these guys are quiet. The guys I had last year would not ever stop talking. You know what I mean? Well, we had 4 guys with me last year, and there was never a moment. We drove about 2,000 miles last year. There was never a moment where one of those 4 wasn't talking last year. Never. Not one time. Not driving all the way to North Platte or back. That's a long drive. These guys, we can drive an hour and a half and there might not even be a sound. So I kind of like these guys. I do. I appreciate it. Stephen, you go first.
My name is Stephen Andrews. I am from a town in Maine called Herman. So I'm a long ways from home. I am going into my sophomore year at Ambassador Baptist College. The first year I went through what's called a 1-year Bible program. And I just finished that up this past May. So then the Lord opened the door for me to be able to come back for the pastoral program. So all of the credits I had from the first program transferred to a pastoral program. So now I have 3 years left, and we'll see what the Lord does after that.
Amen.
I'm John Wright. I'm from New Bern, North Carolina, which is about 30 miles from the ocean. And my wife and I ran a business, and we did countertops, which would be like granite and quartz countertops, and we were doing nursing homes. We did like 2 different nursing homes, and when COVID hit, they shut down. And so one Saturday morning, I went in and we would do a 8 o'clock men's prayer group, and I asked my pastor, who had been there for 58 years at the same church, what can I do to help serve the Lord? And he did the same thing. The next day after after church, he said, he come up to me, he's a talker, but the only thing he said was Ambassador Baptist College, 1-year Bible, and evangelize. And I will mention that he is a graduate of Bob Jones, but Ron Comfort, he's had him in his church for so many years, and Ambassador has such a good reputation with him. And so I went to my wife and I said, when I found out that they didn't have online classes, and I said, you know, this is what he said, and I thought she was going to say, well, you know, that's it. She said, well, we can do this. And I thought, well, there's one open door. She's on board a little bit. And I said, well, how about this? And she said, well, we can do this. And I said, well, we need to pray about it. And then the story is 2.5 weeks later, we went from not having Ambassador Baptist College on our radar to sitting in a 7 a.m. class, and the professor said, oh, we have guests today. So anyway, the Lord has been good. He is, we went through what's called the same program, the 1-year Bible, and there's 37 credit hours. And my wife is teaching in our Christian school from our church, and I'm actively seeking to find what the Lord's will is for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I asked John last year because he's just such a great guy. He is what I call a drop-dead soul winner. Like when I pull into Casey's, I'll just give you the truth here. I'm pulling to Casey's, I want to get the gas and I want to get some of those Casey's goodies. I am addicted to those puppies. You know that? Whatever they got in there by the counter, I like all of them. You know what I mean? That's all I'm interested in. John's not. John doesn't even remember that we stopped to get gas. He's out trying to find, so we stopped at Casey's in Missouri Valley yesterday to get gas. He's over, I turn around, he's over there witnessing to a couple of bikers. I mean, that's just how this guy's built. And I said, you'd love it in Nebraska. I'm trying to get him to move, but he's a North Carolinian native. I think he'd probably die after a couple of months. The first time it snowed and the wind blew, we wouldn't be able to do that. Anyway, I'm going to preach, but Stephen, this guy can sing, and he is going to sing us a song. He's got a whole repertoire. Just do one for us.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you very much. Take your Bibles. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Would you go there, please, this morning? Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Pastor, for the privilege to come and be with you again. Thank you in advance for the lunch. We know that we will like it. Thank you for the privilege to preach. And we're excited what God is doing. God's on the throne, isn't he? God is faithful, and we need to be faithful to him. Hebrews chapter 12. I want to preach a message just from some familiar verses here to keep going. And the sermon title is Keep Going for the Lord. Keep going for the Lord. In your Bibles, Hebrews, I want to back up and read the last couple of verses of Hebrews chapter 11. So if you follow with me as I read this morning, Hebrews 11, I want to start reading in verse 39. Hebrews 11, 39. We'll go right into Hebrews 12. All right, Hebrews 11, 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Now we come to the text for today, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 11, a familiar chapter in the Bible, is called the Hall of Fame chapter, the Hall of Faith chapter. But it's a listing, Hebrews chapter 11 is a listing of the great saints of the Old Testament era. It describes what they did. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. And we know the great stories of the patriarchs of the past. So the message of Hebrews chapter 11 is that these folks lived by faith. They believed what God said, and they trusted him, and they lived for him. It is kind of interesting if you think of the Old Testament saints. Number one, none of them had a church to go to. Think about that. Church isn't started till we get to the New Testament. So if you take all those saints, David, Abraham, they didn't have a church like this, a church for fellowship. I grew up going to a church, and even though they've tore the building down, that's a sign of old age when buildings are torn down. Your school is torn down, your church is, that's just a sign you're getting old is all that is. I used to laugh at my parents because everything they went to was torn down. Now it's not near as funny because I have had everything I went to tore down. I went to a little church in Minnesota. But the Old Testament saints didn't have a church to go to. They also didn't have the Bible like we have it. Part of it hadn't even been written yet, but the part that had been written, they didn't get to carry it around like this, did they? But they lived by faith. God spoke to them, and they responded to it. I like that, don't you? That's a great way to live. And so we come to Hebrews chapter 12, and it's building on Hebrews chapter 12, is building on what was said in Hebrews 11. It's saying, here's the example of how to live. Now he says this, wherefore? See, now he turns it from Hebrews 11, the Old Testament saints, and he turns it to me and you. In other words, we're living in a different time period. I understand that. We're living in challenging times, beyond a shadow of a doubt. But he said, the way the Old Testament saints lived, you can live in victory just like that today. And so he turns it to me and he turns it to you. To keep going for the Lord. I like people that are faithful to good things, don't you? They understand what's right. They understand what needs to be done. And they live by it day in, day out. Years, decades, they just keep on staying on being faithful. Easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Easy to get on a detour, right? You ever been on a road and there's a detour, takes you off? I preach different places in North Carolina on Sunday. When there's a detour, I don't have any idea where I'm going. I'm telling you what, there's not a road in the state of North Carolina that goes straight longer than a quarter mile. I am not exaggerating. The road goes like this and goes that. I said, I can't even tell what direction I'm going. Seriously. Wasn't always the best direction finder, but out here in farmland, I'm pretty good. And a guy said, well, you just follow the sun. I said, I know, but the road's going to change direction a quarter mile and you can't find the sun. And now you're thinking, how bright is this guy? He can't even find the sun. It's confusing to me what direction you're going. I've lived there 4 years. I've driven to all kinds of churches. And if it wasn't for GPS, I'd be by the side of the road crying my eyes out because I couldn't find anything. I'd be broken down and without hope. I tell you what, though. There is something about somebody that finds what's right and stays with it. Couple times going up to preach, there was like an accident or something in North Carolina. They give you a detour, and they had just thrown it up quickly. It wasn't like road construction, you know, and it was just, I hope I get to where I'm going because I'm lost, you know what I mean? It's just like, I kind of think I know where I'm going, and I took a couple of guesses, and it worked out, you know what I mean? But what about your life, and what about my life? That's what Hebrews 12 is talking about. It's talking about how you and I living today can be like the Old Testament heroes. And there's four different looks that I want us to see here in Hebrews chapter 12. First of all, there's a look back in verse 1. It says this, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, what he's talking about is the great cloud of witnesses are the group of people that he just described in Hebrews chapter 11. We're not going to take time to look back there. But he's saying to these people, and Hebrews are written to the Hebrews, are written to the Jews, to the Israelites, for they would live the kind of life that God had for them. And he said, don't forget now this great cloud of witnesses. He just listed them. He just listed all of them. And you and I, in our life, sometimes we have to just take a moment and stop and look back to those people who have gone before us. Sometimes we say this, a preacher or a missionary, or we could even look at it in a patriotic sense in America, but we say this, we are standing on the shoulders of those who went before us. In other words, we have sometimes blessings because those who went before us did right. And we can think of that great cloud of witnesses. We can look at that in a patriotic sense, can't we? In our great country, America. We've just come through 4th of July, and I understand America's a divided place, but we can still rejoice and be thankful for that great history, that great heritage that we have of those who went before us and were willing to sacrifice, pay the price, pay the ultimate price for freedom. I understand that. But in a spiritual sense, it's good to look back and to think of those who've gone before us. I mean, I'm here today because my parents took me to church every time the doors were open. I mean, let's put it on the bottom shelf. I had a mom and dad where there was never any question if we were going to church. Now, when they landed on the moon, I'll just share something with you. That was 1969. It was July. They landed on the moon at the same time the Sunday night service started at First Baptist Church, Lake Crystal, Minnesota. I pointed this out to my father, and I said, Dad, they are landing on the moon. I mean, I just didn't know if he knew that or not. You know what I mean? My dad, he maybe hadn't followed it as well, you know. And I says, Dad, they're landing on the moon. Trying to say, tonight's the night to skip church. And my dad said, and boy, I hate it when my dad was right. And my dad said, don't worry about it. They'll replay it 1,000 times. You know what? He's right. He's absolutely right. They did replay it 1,000 times. And I have seen the land. Never got to see it live because I was at First Baptist Church of Lake Crystal. Hey, you know what? I thank God for my parents. They're both in heaven now.
Amen.
But I thank God for that great cloud of witnesses. And I could take it back farther than that. But I thank God for good pastors I had. I thank God for good teachers in a Bible college. I thank God that I am standing here today, not really by myself, even though I am standing here by myself, but I'm standing here because other people gave to me spiritual truth, good things. That's what he's saying, a great cloud of witnesses. Some people get all distracted in that passage. Well, can they see us in heaven? He's just talking about the people in the past that did right, that lived for the Lord, that were a blessing to me and to you. We went to see, I took the two guys with me, a lady in our church in Fremont. She's 89. She's going to be 90 in December. There's two ladies that are going to be 90 that have just been faithful in that church. And, you know, when I got to say goodbye to her, you don't know if you'll see them again this side of glory. I'll see her in glory, but I don't know if she'll be here next year. She's doing great. She's as sharp as a tack, you know? But I kind of teared up. I didn't show her because I'm not a tearing up kind of guy. But every once in a while, I tear up even though I'm not a tearing up kind of guy. Because I thank the Lord for her. She was just a faithful church member, you know? For just a second, we need to look back. I don't want to do something today or in the next few years or however long God gives me that would bring discredit to my last name because my parents are good people. And I thank God for their testimony. I thank God for what God has given to me. So sometimes we have to look back. The second look is we need to look inside. You see it in verse 1? We need to look inside of us. It says here in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about, also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here it is, two statements. Let us lay aside every weight. And the sin, let us lay aside, is not mentioned again, but it's like by implication. And let us, so it says, first of all, let us lay aside every weight. And second of all, and the sin which does so easily beset us. See, do you see how the verse sets up? It says, don't forget that cloud of witnesses. Now, as you remember those who have gone before us, here's what you and I have to do in our own life. First of all, let us lay aside every weight. God is telling us to lay aside. Now, in the verse, verse 1, there's the word weight. We understand what a weight is, something that slows you down. And there's the word sin. I think we probably all are pretty understanding what the word sin is. Sin is something that God says is wrong. Sin is something God says you shouldn't do. You should avoid. But it says, first of all, let us lay aside every weight. So a weight is different than a sin. But God says, lay aside the weight. What is the weight? Something that slows you down in the race. What's the race? We're not running. What's the race? The race is your life and my life. He said, so later, we'll get to it, lay aside the sin. But before we get to the sin, and people don't like this, but it's a clear statement in Scripture, you have to lay aside something that's the weight. What's the weight? Something that slows me down. Something that keeps me from the race. Right now, the world track championships are going on. I haven't watched it. I haven't seen anything. But I like watching track, like in the Olympics and stuff like that. I used to go all the time to the Nebraska State High School track meet down in Omaha Burke. And I love the track when somebody's running the track. And one of the greatest runners in history is a guy named Usain Bolt. He was a sprinter from Jamaica. Three Olympics in a row. He won the gold medal in the 100, the 200, and the 4x100 meter relay. Holds the world records in all of those events. Probably the greatest track athlete in history. And I read this one time. Now this guy, he's a tall guy, he's a strong guy, he's obviously works out all day to get ready to run. And his shoes, specially designed shoes made by somebody, weigh 3 ounces. Isn't that amazing? The guy's a 200 pound plus guy with muscles on top of muscles everywhere. Why does he wear 3 ounce shoes? A weight might slow him down. Now, obviously, these are technologically correct shoes. You understand. Even at that level, I don't even know how 3 ounce shoes can do the job, but obviously they do. He didn't want to wait to slow him down. And I understand how this runs counter to our mindset today. Boy, I do. But, you know, if the Bible says something, there might be a reason for it, you know? It's not what's wrong with something. It's better question is what's right about something. Lay aside the weight. Lay aside something that's going to slow us down in the Christian life. Now, like John is an interesting diet machine. Now, he doesn't need a diet. In fact, some more pounds on him is what John needs. But he doesn't think so. And so, like, wherever we go, he's pointing out the food that we are eating. Okay, like, I don't care about that. Do you understand? Like, I eat what I like to eat. You understand? And I know, there's all kinds of people. I got corrected when I was a pastor all the time about this. Doesn't faze me a lick. But anyway, and he just like has decided there's some things he's not going to eat. I go for it, buddy. I'm proud of you. I really am. You know what I mean? He's laid aside certain things. Now, in your life and in my life, in our Christian life, the simple truth is we're all different people. There's certain things, weights I have to lay aside in order for me to finish the race that God has for me. I was teaching class one time at Bible College, and a girl raised her hand and she said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, how is it possible to leave a church where you've been the pastor 26 years? She said, was that hard to do? I said, yeah, it was one of the hardest things I ever did. And she said, well, how did you do it? I said, I'd laid it on the altar. The songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And I said, Lord, it's something I love, but if you want to take it, I'll give it to you. Look, the Lord knows better where I should be than I do. Really. And what I'm saying is, sometimes in life we have to, here it is, look inside and lay aside the weight. We continue on. He says, lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. I think that's easy to understand. The sin is anything that's disobedient to God, that doesn't do what the Lord has for us to do. Sometimes there's sins of commission, sins we commit. Also, there's sins of omission, things we don't do that God tells us to do. The Bible calls them sin. Not only lay aside the weight, but second of all, lay aside the sin. He says there's things in your life. All of us struggle with different things. All of us have different backgrounds, different situations, different circumstances, and we have things that we struggle with. But he says, lay it aside. Put it aside. Ask God to help give you victory over that. Lay aside that sin. So first of all, we look back to the cloud of witness. Second of all, we look inside. Lay aside the weight and lay aside the sin. Thirdly, it says here, we look up. We look up. You see it in verse 2? It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we can't see Jesus, but it says that we should look to Jesus. I think we understand what he's talking about, that we know who Jesus is. The Bible, that specific verse describes who he is. But we know who Jesus is, and we keep our eyes on Jesus. And you know, the difficult thing in life is it's easy to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. We can get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can get distracted by money. We get distracted by things. We can get distracted by problems, difficulties. Sometimes we can get distracted by other people. Sometimes some people can't see Jesus because they're bitter about somebody else. They can't see the Lord Jesus Christ. They've let somebody come between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting where he says that simple statement, looking unto Jesus? Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, there's going to be some disappointments in life, isn't there? There's going to be some hard times, right? Things are not going to go the way you want them to go. That's in everyone's life, your life and my life. But in the midst of all of it, I'm commanded, I'm exhorted to keep looking unto Jesus. One time in Fremont in the early years, I was a little bit discouraged. I'll just tell you the truth. The early years, I was discouraged all the time. And we had church, and I used to say later on, I couldn't say it then because it wasn't funny. Some of my fun jokes are really funny, but everybody doesn't think they're funny at the time. And I said, church got done at 12, and the building was cleared at 12:01. That's not the sign of a good church. You understand? And so one Sunday, got done at 12, early years, building cleared at 12:01. I was sitting in the back. And the Lord and I were having a pity party, but the Lord wasn't participating. But I was having a pity party. My wife was over at the house. We lived right next door. She was cooking dinner. We had two small children at the time. And I was sitting there, and I was having a pity party with the Lord. Once again, the Lord refused to participate. And standing there like there's 12, it's 12:15. A guy walks in the door from Fremont. He missed church. And he said, glad I caught you, Pastor. I'm not his pastor, but that's what he called me. I said, sit down. He said, I got some problems. Can you help me? And so we talked for like 5 or 10 minutes. Okay? Now that's a guy, just to roll on the story, I've known all 26 years I was in Fremont, and that was like one of three times he was in the building. The other one was a wedding and a funeral. He sat there and I talked to him. And he left. And it's like I heard the Lord talking. Now, the Lord wasn't talking, but you know what I'm saying. And the Lord said, you know, there is a ministry here in Fremont if you would try to find it. And I said, Lord, I want to go back to the pity party. I want to go back to complaining about everything that's not right. I want to go back to this isn't right and that person isn't doing right. And Jesus says, you just keep looking unto me. The interesting thing is that guy never came to church. I'd see him every time I saw him. Pastor, how you doing? You're doing great. Never came to church, you know. Too busy working, making money, whatever, you know. He hauls pigs for a living, and I don't think he goes by all the rules of hauling pigs. You understand, but he's making money, you know what I mean? Good guy. I don't even know if he's saved or not, but I'm just saying, good guy. You know, it's so easy to get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ today. I bet in this area, I bet anywhere in America, if I looked hard enough, I could find all kinds of people that used to be good, solid, faithful Christians, and every single one of them has got a reason why they don't go to church anymore. Do you know why it is? They got their eyes off Jesus. They got their eyes off Jesus and on something else, or someone else. Somebody said this, somebody did this, somebody this worked out. That situation is it. But the Bible says, I'm supposed to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a simple statement, but it's hard to do sometimes. You can get discouraged. You can get a little bit downhearted. It's easy. It's part of the human condition. But I want to keep my eyes on Jesus. I want to keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to look up to Him. Notice how He's described. First of all, His deity. He's the author and finisher of the faith. He's the beginning and the end. Notice also His determination. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Verse 3 says He endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself. That's describing my Savior. That's describing the Lord. So we look back to the great cloud of witnesses. We look inside to us. We lay aside the weight. We lay aside the sin. We look up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the last part of verse 1. The fourth thing is we should look ahead. We should look ahead. Notice the last part of verse 1. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now the race, several times in the New Testament, we won't take time to look at them. Several times in the New Testament, the race is compared to our life. Your life and my life. And it says that the life, the Christian life that we have, some writers in the New Testament compared it to a race. And he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So your life is a race. My life is a race. Now, if we were going to have a race, we were going to have a track meet down here at the high school, or yesterday we were in Mount Damon and they got a track and a very nice track up there, something like that. We understand when there's a race on a track, like in a high school, college track meet, there's a finish line. I suspect everybody that runs in a race understands where the finish line is. The problem is, I don't know where my finish line is. My finish line could be today. You know that? We were leaving. I had to do a wedding in Omaha on Saturday, and so the family we were staying at picked me up, and we were driving from Fremont to North Bend, and right between Fremont and North Bend, that's Highway 30, and that's a dangerous stretch of road, and there was a young lady killed there on Saturday night, 7:15. We came by about 7:40. Somebody ran a stop sign on a side road, hit somebody, drove them right into a utility pole, and the people in that vehicle weren't wearing a seatbelt. They got pushed out. One was killed. The other two and three people totally in the accident. The other two were life-flighted. I haven't heard anything. The young lady who died was 34 years of age. Hey, can I tell you something? She never thought her life would end that day. She never thought for a second it would. We just got off I-80. We didn't see any accidents, but boy, you and I know they happen. There's so much traffic. People are driving fast. I don't know where my life ends. I know how I want it to end. You know what I mean? I do. But I've been around long enough. No, that's not the way it works out. But I tell you what I do have is right now today. That's what I have. I have right now. I have right here. And I want to be faithful to the time that I have. I want to preach for another 15, 20 years. I want to see my grandkids grow up. Our oldest grandkid is 11. Our youngest is 2. And we've got another one on the way. I want to see them grow up. I want to see them go to college, a good college. I want to see them get married. I want to see them live for the Lord. I may or may not get that chance. But I tell you what I do have right now, today. Today is what I have. And I want to run with patience. The word patience there means steadfast endurance, being faithful to the cause, being faithful to what God has called you to, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I only have one life. That's all I have. That's it. I've got this life. This is it. I'm not going to get another one. We were with one of the pastors. We were out, and I asked him how old he was, and he said he was 46. You know, the first thought came into my mind? Man, I'd love to be 46 again. I tell you what, I'd like to live those 15 years again and preach. I'd like to have, seriously. And then I thought, how dumb is that? You know? Seriously. What I have is today. I have to be faithful today. And then I want to be faithful tomorrow. I don't know if I get to preach again. This could be my last sermon. Seriously, it could be. I hope it isn't. I hope I got 20 years left to preach and to teach. But God's in control of that. But I'm in control of what I do today. Let us run with patience. How many people are in hell because they saw, I'll get saved someday? And how many people who are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ, who are on their way to heaven, aren't going to go to hell, and they could live for the Lord, but they say, well, down the future, down the road, some other time, I'll get to it. It'll work out after I make my money, after I get retired, after I do this. But all I've got's today. That's it. I want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to make my life count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Rudy Atwood, famous piano player, if you follow gospel music, played for the Old Fashioned Revival Hour. Oh, what a piano player. I think I heard him in person, but he had a stroke near the end of his life. Lost his ability to speak. Worked like crazy to get it. I mean, what he could do to the piano is just unbelievable. I'm sure he's all over. You could find him on YouTube or something. So they had him back at his home church, which was Oak Forest Baptist Temple in a suburb of Chicago. That church is gone now, but he was there. And they said he had practiced and practiced and he could play the piano. And so he sat down at the piano to play. And he was playing the song, "When They Ring Those Golden Bells." And God took him home right in the middle of the song. He slumped over, and before anybody got to him, he said there was nothing left. He was gone. I tell you what, I bet Rudy Atwood would have just loved to be playing the piano when he went to heaven. And the Lord led him. There was a pastor out in Sutherland, Nebraska. He was a farmer rancher. He took over this church, Hope Baptist Church, Sutherland. For 23 years, he was a farmer rancher pastor. Farm full-time, ranch full-time, pastored full-time. Great guy. Never Bible college trained. Just a faithful, godly person. In 2020, October 20, they finished the harvest. He climbed up those two silos. Last summer, those guys were there and saw them. The one about 50 feet in the air, the other one about 100 feet in the air. Climbed it and closed the top. Came down the second silo, was walking in to have supper with his wife, had a massive heart attack coming across the property, and died right there. The coroner said he was gone before he ever hit the ground. You know what he did? He served to the very last minute of his life. I said, that man wanted to die with his boots on like nobody I ever met. You know what I mean? And he was faithful. What he did was he ran with patience the race that God gave to him. I don't know. I don't know when the race ends. I don't know where that finish line is. I'm ready for the finish line. I'm saved. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm faithful to the Lord. I want some more years to serve him. But if God decides that's not best, he knows what's best. But I tell you what, when I have today, right now, I want to serve him with everything I have. I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for these good folks. Blessing it is to be with them. Privilege it is to be in your house, dear Lord. We pray your blessing upon this church. We thank you for each one that is here. We think of the many people we spoke to yesterday, this church has been witnessing to different times. Lord, work in their heart. you can use us, Lord, but we know it's a work of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts and lives. And we pray that these folks right here today, that we would continue to be faithful to you. Help each one of us, Lord, to run with patience the race that is set before us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You've been so good to us, and we pray that we be faithful servants of yours. Bless the pastor, we pray, in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. All right, if you would you stand with me, if
you're able, this morning?
Brother Stephen, can you get another song ready? So let me ask you this question, first of all. Number one, have you ever begun the race? You begin the Christian race when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, have you ever put your faith in Him and in Him alone to be your Savior? If not, today would be the day to do that. You say, well, what about tomorrow? If the devil will talk you out of doing it today, he'll talk you out of doing it tomorrow. But that same thing applies to your Christian life, in walking the Christian life. If the devil can talk you out of starting today, he'll talk you out of starting tomorrow. So where's your focus this morning? Is it on Jesus? Is your determination this morning to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul? And if not, would you come? If you're not saved, you should come. And if you need some help, we'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved and how you can know it for sure. And if you're here this morning and you just say, no, Lord, I need to come and talk to you. I've been meaning to do what's right. There's things that you've been wanting me to do, and I've been meaning to do it. I just haven't got around to it yet. But today, I will determine by your help to do what you asked me to do. Father, we ask you to help us during this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Brother Stephen, you come and you sing. And if you need to come, you come. And whatever your need is, let God help you this morning.
Our invitation song is number 573. If you know it, you can sing it. If you want to look it up, you can do that too. Number 573, Where He Leads Me.
Where He leads me, I
go with me. I'll go.